This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
The world that we live in is a very interesting world. As a matter of fact, John said a long time ago that the world lieth in wickedness. 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that in this life that there are great influences. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul understood that the influences of his time were because of the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. We still have some of those influences even today. When we consider some of the things that we have to deal with as the people of God, Paul would tell the Roman brethren in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he would beg them not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. And that's important, the renewing of the mind, because God desires for our minds to be set upon his Son, Jesus Christ. Reminded what the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And this is who we ought to be looking unto. And friends, when we consider this life that we live in, there are so many things that are occupying our hearts, our minds. And this is why when we consider 1 John 2, 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The influences of the world are very interesting. And again, this is why we have to be focused upon our Lord, our Savior, our Master. But the Bible teaches us not to grow weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, verse 9. It's interesting. See those that flow of thought there. God doesn't want us to grow weary. Even though we live in this world, we are not to be of it. And that's the distinguishing mark. No wonder Jesus, our Lord, our Master, would say, as relates to being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, sitting set upon a hill that cannot be hid, men will see your good works. The only way that they can see your good works, you have to be yoked to Christ. You have to be yoked to him. And that's what we want to talk about on this morning. We want to talk about being yoked to Christ. We know sometimes in this life there is discouragement. As a matter of fact, you know the Apostle Paul, when he was preaching to the people of Corinth in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 11, apparently there was a sense of discouragement there because the Lord himself had to encourage him, told him, don't be afraid. You keep preaching. You keep speaking. I have many people. I have many people. And then he said also that I am with you. Paul would give that same exhortation in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's the exhortation that we should have today. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. You should already be there. We're going to be looking at some things as it relates to this great text. I've been pondering this text, brewing over it, meditating on it for many days. And as I've been thinking about it, I thought about some of the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus desires for his people to come to him. But Jesus doesn't want people to be inconsistent. He wants them to be consistent. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, we find that Jesus himself desires for a people to be consistent, but they were not consistent. We also see something very interesting in verses 20 through verse number 24. We know that we should not allow ourselves to refuse the word of God. Friends, what I mean by that is that when we refuse the word of God, we're actually refusing that which is best for us. I'm reminded of what Jesus said here in these particular texts. He said, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida. Man, if Tyre and Sidon saw these miracles, if they saw these signs, if they heard this, they would have turned. They would have repented. You know, you think of some of the things that we hear from this pulpit. Friends, there is no reason for no one here to ever be lost or living in sin. Why? Because the word of God comes forth from this pulpit every Lord's Day. Doesn't matter who's speaking or preaching. But we also see that God desires for us to be a humble people. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through verse number 30, friends, God desires for us to be a humble people. And the reason why we say this is, look at the text. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven. The word Lord there is very interesting. Possessor and disposer of a thing. He is the possessor and disposer of heaven and earth. That you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes, those who are humble, those who desire to hear you. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son, listen, wills to reveal him. Now, notice this text, and let's look at it closely. Jesus says, come unto me. You consider this in the original, and we're going to be looking at all of these passages from this point forward in the original. Come now, he says. The original has the idea of Jesus, come now, come close, come now to me. Now think about that. Think about the exhortation that Jesus is saying right here. You come to me, come. And look at what he says. Come to me, all you who labor, those who are weary. Weary in their mind, weary in their spirit, meaning their attitude, their soul. Come to me. You who are weary, and notice, heavy laden, spiritual anxiety. Now, it's interesting, friends, that Jesus would use this type of language. Because he desires for the people that listen to him, come close. Come listen to me. Why? Because I know what's best for you. Come to me, all ye that labor, weary and heavy laden. And notice what he says. I will give. I'll give. You're not going to take it from him. He's going to give you something. He said he's going to give rest. The word rest there is very interesting. The idea of causing one to cease movement, to cease activity, that they may collect themselves, that they may collect strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word. To collect strength doesn't mean to sit and just do nothing. To collect strength means that I am taking in, I'm imbibing the word of God that I may receive the strength to move forward. He's not talking about being lazy. He's not talking about sitting on the couch doing nothing. He's talking about taking in the word of God. He says, no movement right now. Take it in. Sometimes in this life, we're so much on the move, we don't have time to take in what God is saying. So he says, come close. All ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now notice this word here, take. It's the Greek word aero. It literally means to stoop down and raise up. Brother Raphael, that requires labor and work on the individual that desires to lift up, to take up whatever Jesus is about to tell them to take up. So he stoops down and he lifts up something. So he says, take upon you. Now notice the text. Take my yoke. I wish I had a picture to show you up here. I've been thinking about that. But he says, take my yoke. Take that plank of wood that has been carved, that has been fashioned and crafted and manufactured for the animals that it is crafted for. which means that there are some yokes that will fit on certain animals, oxen, and there are other yokes that fit on other animals, cows, donkeys, mules. You can't put the same yoke on different animals. So here we see that it's individual. It's custom crafted for the individual that's going to be yoked with him. Now follow me on this. Because here Jesus is saying, stoop down, lift up, put the yoke on you. Jesus said, I'm not going to put the yoke on you. You're going to do that. Which means that it's going to require something on the individual's part who has a desire to be yoked with him. Now that's interesting. Because Jesus, first of all, says, come close. Now he says, take it up and put it on. Now we stop and we consider this, friends, and it's a very powerful concept. It has been blowing my mind to think about this, because here Jesus, notice what he says. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn. Amen. Jesus is not saying, take my yoke upon you and teach me. There is nothing that we can teach the Lord. So notice what he says. Take my yoke upon you, put it on. But hold on. Before we go to the learn aspect, we have to understand who's on the other side of that yoke. Not my wife, not my brethren, not the world, but the Lord. And as I was looking at pictures of yokes of oxen, cows, there's some pictures I saw that you saw the yoke of oxen and both of them are walking forward, looking straight. Then there was another photo that I saw. There was a yoke of oxen and they're walking through the mud. You can tell that they're really laboring through the mud. They're working. And then there was another photo that I saw that you had one ox looking at the other ox. And I thought about the Lord. And then I saw another photo that you had the oxen and they're looking at each other. Oh, y'all get where I'm going with this? See, it's interesting, and the more I thought about this, I thought about when we're yoked with the Lord, we're walking with him, because number one, as long as I'm walking with him and I'm yoked with him, I got to stay with what he says. And then there's opportunities when we get to look at one another. And then there's opportunities I just get to look to the Lord and follow him and listen to him. And it's interesting that when I have a question, that I just need to look to the Lord. And when the Lord is speaking, I need to hush and just listen to him. But it's interesting also that in the yoke, the yoke is not designed to choke the animal. See, the yoke is designed to give the animal room so the neck can move around. So he can even chew the cud or chew some food or the grain every now and then. Which tells me that what Jesus is teaching us is not designed to choke me. It's designed to help me. Question. Why is it that we think some of God's teaching is designed to choke me? Could it be that I'm trying to wiggle my way out of the yoke? Could it be that as an individual, I really don't want to be inside the yoke with Jesus? No wonder Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And make no mistake about it. The context is dealing with idolatry and marriage. Make no mistake about it. We think about being yoked with the Lord. He says, take my yoke. The yoke belongs to the Lord. I'm just privileged to be able to lift it up and put it on me because it already belongs to him. And he's right next to me, which means that as long as I'm walking in this yoke, Brother Williamson, with the Lord, I ought to be where he is and end up where he is. And at any time that I will desire to leave the yoke, guess what God is going to do? Guess what the Lord is going to do? He'll allow me to leave the yoke. Now, that's interesting. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Learn what? See, the idea also of the yoke and the learning aspect are his commandments. When we love the Lord, we keep his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3. I know that I'm faithful to God when I keep his commandments. Now, put your seatbelts on. You're going to feel some turbulence. When we consider the teachings of Jesus, you cannot divorce yourselves from the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Spirit, who inspired the apostles, 1 Peter chapter 1. They inspired the apostles to write. We have these 66 books, great books, that are designed to give us everything that we need for life and godliness. Here it is, through the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. Which means that when I'm learning from Jesus and I'm learning from the apostles, I'm learning from God. When I'm yoked with Jesus, that means that my married life ought to reflect that which the Holy Spirit taught the apostles to write down. It ought to reflect that. My dress ought to reflect that. My attitude ought to reflect that. The doctrine that we espouse as relates to the one Lord, one faith, one baptism ought to reflect that. Why? Because I'm yoked with Jesus. And anytime I get away from the yoke, I get away from the teachings, I myself have taken the yoke off and cast it down. Now, we stop and we consider this. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? Why? Because I am meek. This word is only used one time, and it's in reference to Jesus. Oh, yes. There are some roots to this word. There are some cognates of this word. There are some words that derive from this word, but as it relates to this word right here, it makes sense. It only refers to Jesus because he's the only one that has always had complete control of himself. He has never been out of control. He has never lost his temper to the point where he sinned against God. He never lost himself as it relates to sinning against man. He has always been under control. He says, I'm meek and I'm humble. The Apostle Paul would use this language in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1 and 2. As he is appealing to the church at Corinth, and he's appealing them according to the meekness and gentleness of Christ. That's interesting. You know, that ought to help us at home. That ought to help us when we're talking to one another as brethren. That ought to help us when it comes to spiritual anxiety. When I don't think I'm going to make it spiritually. When I have more month than money. Y'all get that point, right? Sometimes that happens. And we begin to lose ourselves. I tell you one thing that frustrates me. It's when I spend hours and hours and hours of studying the scriptures, Brother Royce, and I still don't understand what I'm studying. You talking about spiritual anxiety? That makes me anxious. Because I'm saying I must be wasting my time digging into this book, into this word, but it never fails. A week later, a month later, boop, oh, that's what that meant. Guess what? Keep meditating. Keep thinking. Don't forget who you're yoked up to. Question. If I'm yoked up to Christ, I should not have a desire to be yoked up with someone who's not yoked up to him. That's good teaching. Why? Because, friends, it actually shows us our allegiance to Jesus Christ. It shows that his teaching, his meekness, his lowliness is so important that we desire, here it is, to find rest. Now, don't look over that word find. That word find literally means, Brother Braswell, to discover. We're going to discover something. But Pope Joy is not going to be here. See, the rest that we find in verse 29 is different than the rest that you see in verse 28. Why? Because the rest that you find in verse 28 is for you to start movement and learn something. The rest that you find in verse number 29 is something that you're looking forward to, Hebrews chapter 4. An eternal rest. Now that's rightly dividing the word of God. Why? Because God says, I want you to be with me. And the only way you can do that, you got to be yoked up with me. Question. How many people say, I believe in Jesus. I'm yoked up with Christ, but they're not keeping the commandments. To keep the commandments is to be yoked up with Christ. Here, as Jesus, as he's saying these things, it makes so much sense that he condemns Chorazin and Bethsaida and say that it would be more tolerable for those particular nations of old in the day of judgment than for you because of what you're seeing and what you're hearing. So here Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn. I'm meek and lowly in heart and you shall find respite. You shall find eternal rest for your soul. Brethren, I don't know about you, but when I consider eternal rest, that's probably the most beautiful thought that I ever have. Just to know that I can hear well done. Just to know that we could be around the throne of God. Just to know that I don't ever have to worry about sin and trouble and Satan and selfishness and people who could care less about God. Just to know that I can live in a new heaven and a new earth. Just to know that we can sing forever. Just to know that. Question. What are we thinking about? So Jesus would go on to say this. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Hold on, Jesus. Number one, I had to stoop down and lift up this yoke. And it's yours. And I had to put it on. And you're on the other side of it. And I get to look to you. I get to hear from you. When I ask questions, I get those questions answered from you through the word. And you say that this is light? Oh, yeah. Because you're not carrying the yoke by yourself. I'm in here with you. I remember as a kid one time that I really needed my mom. And she was there. It's a beautiful feeling. Young people, honor your parents. I don't care how old you are. Young people, teach your children to honor you, to listen to you, to respect authority. Teach them to respect the yoke of Christ. Don't take that lightly. It's a blessing to be able to know that the instructions that God has left us in his word are designed to help us live a godly and upright life. But let me make this point. In this yoke, Braswell, it's not designed to just sit still. It's designed to pull. It's designed to plow. It's designed to walk in. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Because the Bible clearly teaches us that we ought to be walkers. This yoking requires a walking. Those of us who are Christians have been baptized into Christ. We're walking. Paul would say in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 17, once we have been baptized into death, we're raised to walk in the newness of life. We know that God desires for us to be working because he's created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We understand that as we're living this life and working, we ought to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. And every good work that God begins in us, he will complete it to the day of Christ, Philippians 1 and verse 6. We're just working, and God is working in us. And keep in mind, you're not working and walking by yourself. And that's a beautiful thing. And anytime we begin to work and walk by ourselves, we begin to walk and learn or do things according to our own understanding, Philippians 3 or Proverbs 3 and verse 5. But there is a standard that God desires for us to walk according to. I'll get to Ephesians in a minute. We're supposed to walk according to the same canon, Philippians 3 and verse 16, the same rule. No, it's not, okay, the Bible teaches this and you can practice this, and the Bible teaches that and you can practice that. No, it's one canon, and we need to conclude the same thing and be of the same mind and the same judgment and walk in the same way, same direction. I can't be walking with Christ and it's like a car or a truck or a van that has been in a bad accident, and you take it to the collision center and they fix it, and it's going down the road dog-legging like that. What you hear going down the road is because those wheels are going against the grain on the road. See, we can't do that. See, we got to be in true alignment with the Lord. So the Bible teaches us that we ought to be walking. What type of walking? Walking that pleases the Lord, Galatians 5:16. Walking that pleases God, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. But notice Ephesians 5, verse number 2. There the Bible teaches us to walk in love. You love your wife? You love your husband, you love your children, you love the brethren, you love your enemies. Walk in love. Bible teaches us in Ephesians 5 and verse number 8 to walk as children of light. You know, to be yoked up with the Lord is to walk in the light, because Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," John 8. But you look at verse number 15, notice Ephesians 5, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Young people, y'all listen to this point. Y'all don't hear, haven't heard anything. Hear this point. Tom Moore one time said in a lesson, you know, wood is expensive and valuable. If you're going to cut on wood, you need to measure twice and cut once. Walk carefully. Walk the straight line. Why? Because one thing we love about the Lord, he always walks carefully, skillfully. Read the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs will teach you how to walk skillfully and carefully. Why? Because if I'm walking with the Lord, if I'm walking in this yoke with Jesus, I'm moving forward. I need to walk skillfully. I need to walk carefully, which means that I got to slow down and listen to what the Lord says. And I'm not in a position to be teaching the Lord anything. He's the one that teaches me all things. So we walk in wisdom. In verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, "Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Walk in wisdom. Verses 18 through 21, our walk ought to be a walk of worship. And make no mistake about it, friends, this is a worship context. It is. This here it teaches us how to sing to the Lord, how to honor the Lord and praise the Lord and make melody in our hearts. Notice the audience to the Lord. You know, none of us have a right to tell someone, "You need to stop singing, you can't sing." No, the Lord is the audience. We're just grateful and thankful and privileged to be the chorus. Then we see verses 22 through chapter 6, verse 4, We ought to walk with our families. Love your wives. Submit to one another. Respect your husbands. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Stay yoked with Jesus and teach your children to honor Jesus. I don't care if they're 17, 27, 37, 47, 67. They ought to be honoring the Lord. And at any time that they're not honoring the Lord, we ought to love them enough to say something. Amen. Verses 5 through 9, when we're walking in the yoke with the Lord, we ought to be walking in our work. We ought to be the best workers out there. People ought to be able to see our work and know that's a Christian right there. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? I'm not trying to cut corners. I'm not trying to tell people to clock in for me. That's stealing. What I'm doing is I'm working because I know the Lord is watching me. He wants what's best for me. But also, this is probably my favorite point, verses 10 through 20 in chapter 6. Yoked with Christ, we walk in a good warfare. Friends, make no mistake about it. This is a war. I know some like to liken the church unto the love boat, but it's not. It's not the love boat. This is a battleship. You got bombs going off. You got missiles flying. Sometimes you got people dying. One thing I know for a fact, that if you stay yoked with the Lord, you'll never die. You'll never die. You'll always live. Oh, yes, they may kill the body. But Jesus has something to say about that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Fear not him that can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both or destroy both body and soul in hell. He's the one that we ought to be fearing. Last but not least, yoked up with Christ requires rest into our souls. I'm going to hurriedly give you these. We can't wait for the salvation that is nearer than when we first believed. Staying yoked with Christ has great benefits. Romans 13, verse number 11. Do you know that your salvation, my salvation, is closer today than it was yesterday? As a matter of fact, it's closer right now than it was when we first began this worship service to God. Number two, we're looking forward to the salvation that's going to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. We can't wait for God to make all rights wrong or all wrongs right. Romans chapter 6, verse Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. You remember those souls that were under the altar? When will you avenge our blood? That was the question. The Lord told them, put robes on them. He said, just wait. Just wait. One of the hardest things, brother, he told us to wait. We don't want to wait. No, you know, we got to wait. We got to hold on. We got to persevere. Got to continue to go forward and keep on going. We know that we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12, verse 28. We know we'll receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 9. We're confident of his promise of a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. Last but not least, finally, we'll enter into his rest. Hebrews 4 verse number 1. So we'll remain diligent to enter into that rest. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Question, will you come? If you're not a Christian, will you come? If you're not faithful to Jesus Christ, will you come? Jesus, come now. Come, come. Right now is the invitation. Right now is the invitation to come and be a child of the Most High God, to have all of your sins washed away, to be covered by the blood of Christ, to have your conscience sprinkled from dead works to serve the living God. Right now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't you love the Word of God? It just keeps on going. Some have the attitude today, will you
Just give us a little bit. Give us some to nibble on. No, we need a full course meal when it comes to the Word of God. Enough snacking on the Word of God. We need to sit down and have a meal. We need to eat with the Lord. One thing I love about what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and following, as it relates to not muzzling the ox that treads out the corn. As that ox is working, he's yoked up, but he's eating as he's going. Isn't it beautiful to be yoked up with the Lord, and he's feeding us as we're going? Just eating, just snacking, having meals, having a little drink every now and then. I'm talking about Kool-Aid or water. Y'all get that when we get home. Are you a Christian? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will add you to his Son's church, the blessed church of Christ. Be faithful, even to the point of death. Stay yoked up with the Lord. Don't leave the yoke. Don't leave. If you leave, somebody will come get you, but you got to have the right heart to come back. So maybe you're a child of God and you've been trying to wiggle your way out of the yoke. You're saying that the yoke is too tight. One thing I love about the Lord, he'll never choke you. No, he's trying to save you. He's not trying to kill you. He wants you to be with him. And all of us ought to be going out there compelling men and women to be yoked up with the Lord. Not with the evil one. Jesus said, come. I'll teach you. He's the best teacher out there. So stand and sing.